Well, it's so nice to begin Advent and the journey to Bethlehem. Advent Christmas is one of my favorite seasons of the year, and it's not all about the hustle and bustle, but I like kind of the quiet moments and the candle lighting and all that sort of thing. So we are in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and following, beginning of the story of Christmas. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will receive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Beautiful words. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we begin a new series, The Best Christmas Gifts, and we're looking at unwrapping the gift of hope. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. This was sent to me, I should add, by a woman. And so it was emailed. It said, "According to the Alaskan Department of Fish and Game, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer, male reindeer lose their antlers in the start of winter, in late November. Female reindeer keep their antlers until spring." She goes on to say, "This means that all of Santa's reindeer, from Rudolph to Blitzen, had to be females. And furthermore," she says, "we should have known that only females would be able to drag around a fat man in a red velvet suit all the way around the world in a single night and not get lost." And all the women said, "Amen." Well, we're on the journey to Christmas, and I always enjoy that. And it's amazing to me how our society gets ready for Christmas, and it's not about the real reason for Christmas. I was looking for items on sale for Halloween in Walmart, and I went, and all the items for Halloween were gone, and Christmas items were there, which is great, if only it was for the right reasons. But in any case, I do love Christmas, and I love the joy and pageantry of it. I love to see kids at Christmas time. I love to see older couples, and I love to see the lighting of candles and so many special things. And of course, all of us like gifts. It's not even Black Friday morning. It's like late Thanksgiving Day, like 5 o'clock, the big deals start. And this year, there are people waiting in line for the big deals at Best Buy, and they're already shopping online with their phones. It's like, seriously? Can you? So anyway, great to have good deals, and there was lots of lists of what are the best deals or what are the best gifts for Christmas, and all of them seem to be electronic gifts, but I was reminded again that the best gifts of Christmas really aren't the things, they aren't the electronic things, they aren't the artificial intelligence or even the drones that fly around looking for Santa. The best gifts of Christmas are the ones that come to us through Christ. And so as we're on this journey to Christmas and Advent and we light these candles, we're going to think about the gifts and we're going to think about unwrapping the gifts. I don't know if you like to unwrap gifts. I do, and I love to watch kids unwrap gifts. It's just so special. So this morning we look at unwrapping the gift of hope, and the first thing I want to think about is the gift of hope that comes to us through Christmas. And sometimes we take it for granted, the good news of Christmas and what that means, but it really is about hope and how hope transforms our life. Moltmann, the great theologian, said this. He said, "Totally without hope, one cannot live. Without some goal and some effort to reach it, no man can live. When he has lost all hope, an object in life, man often becomes a monster in his misery. To live without hope is to cease to live." But we can be thankful that as Christians, we know hope. And sometimes we take that hope for granted. And we think about the readings this morning. And the first reading was from the book of Isaiah and this great prophet. Actually, the first two readings from the book of Isaiah, the reading on the Advent candle and then the reading on the Old Testament. And it's just a beautiful picture. Isaiah paints this picture of a time of peace that the people had hoped for. course, they've been oppressed and experienced incredible injustice. And so this vision of peace was a beautiful time. And in the end, he uses that imagery, the light of the Lord will be with you. And it's a beautiful image because it reminds us of Christmas and the light of hope come in the middle of night. And then we think about Mary's hope. And of course, Mary's hope was really to be wed to Joseph, and she really wasn't thinking about the angel coming to her by any means. That was the furthest thing from heart and mind. She certainly had the hope of a Messiah, as all the people of Israel did in a time when God would reign with us and his light would be with us in a special way. But then the angel comes to her and greets her and tells her that she's found favor with God. And we can only imagine that because this is the angel Gabriel, one of the two angels that are named in the Bible by name. And of course, you can only imagine the glory and the grandeur of an angel. And he tells her that she will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Jesus, and he will be from the Most High. And Mary says, how can this be since I am a virgin? And Jesus says, the Spirit of God will come upon you in a special way, and you will conceive, and this child will be special and will save his people from sins. He will be the Messiah, the Christ. And then ends with this beautiful promise, for nothing is impossible with God. And, you know, I think those are some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. And it reminds us in all of life, we're not in Mary's place, but sometimes when things seem darkest, sometimes when things seem most challenging and most difficult in life, and maybe even heartbreaking, that God can come to us in the darkest night and light the darkness with a candle of hope in a special way, knowing that Christ has come to share our humanity with us, as Emmanuel, God with us, so that everything that we've ever gone through, then Christ has experienced the trials and difficulties and adversities and temptations of life, and then gave his life in the greatest gift of all on Calvary, that we can know forgiveness and new life and God's grace in a way that forgives us and transforms us, and it gives us new hope for life. For nothing is impossible with God. And I know that a lot of us have had a moment in life when our lives have been dashed by false hopes. Maybe it was sort of a blind optimist. Maybe it was a promise that was broken by someone. And of course, everyone, even those who try the most, we all fail and fall short. And we hurt sometimes those we love and those we care about. But you know, God's word never fails. God's promise to love and forgive us and to heal our hearts is one that we can count on, we can trust. And it's a candle of hope that can light the darkest night. And the writer of Hebrews says this, and I love this verse in Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And I love that imagery. I'm a boater or aspiring boater. And I don't know if you've ever been out in the lake on a storm, especially on a big lake, and the waves get big. I recall one time that I was in New York Harbor on a diving expedition out there, and we were in the middle of this storm. And you could see New York City in the distance, but I mean, it just seemed like it was forever away. And I happened to be on the bow of the boat. I had something I had to do for diving, and the waves were coming over the top, and it was cold too, and it was like in late November, and it just feel like you're helpless. And so when you are in a boat in a storm, you want to be anchored at shore. You know, you want to be tied to the dock. But there are times when you're out in the sea or something, and you can't get to shore. And if you try to get to shore, you're going to maybe risk wrecking the boat into the reef and destroying the boat and maybe lives. And so what you do is you throw out what's called a sea anchor. And the sea anchor secures the boat, and you have to have lots of line on that anchor so it weighs it, and it keeps the bow of the boat going into the waves, because otherwise the waves will sort of throw the boat around, and if it goes sideways and a wave comes over, well, it'll take the boat down and destroy it, and it will sink, and most people will drown without incredible rescue efforts. And so you want to have a sea anchor, and that sea anchor keeps the bow facing the right direction into the waves so it can take the waves in the way that it's meant to. And in the same way, when the storms and waves and winds of adversity come our way, we have this anchor in Christ that's firm and secure that we can count on in all the storms of life and in the darkest night. And so wherever you are today in the storms of life, know that God's hope is there, not just for the people of Israel way back when, but also Christ come to us as Emmanuel, the one who has God's light and God's love to forgive and offer grace and love in a special way. And we know that that transforms all of life. And so the gift of hope is one that transforms life, and it's a gift that we need to unwrap, right? So if you have a gift and it's wrapped up, it looks great, doesn't it? But if you never unwrap the gift, it doesn't do you any good. And so it's important to remind it that this gift of hope only really is something that we can experience and even share if we unwrap that gift. So how do we unwrap the gift of hope in our life? I think it means, first of all, that we need to realize that Christ does come and forgive us, and each and every one of us needs to come to the Lord in prayer and open our hearts and realize that God is there to forgive us and give us grace and love. And so we only need to ask God for forgiveness and sort of ask Christ to come into our hearts and lives. And then we know that God's light will light our life in a special way. We'll be healed and forgiven. And so the first thing is that we're absolved from our past. And absolved is just a fancy word that means forgiven, but whatever the wrongs are in the past, whatever the shortcomings are, then we can be forgiven and know that God's grace forgives us. And it isn't how fancy the words are. It isn't necessarily repeating any prayer. It's where our heart is, to just ask God to come into our life and to say, you know, this Christmas, this Advent, I want to prepare myself for Christmas in the best way I can, which is to ask you into my heart and life and to ask you to forgive me and to give me grace and love. And I'm so excited because the second service, there's five baptisms, and which is just special, you know, both adults and baby, kids and adult. And so it's just a blessing. And when we do a baptism, we light these beautiful candles up here, and then you get that candle afterwards. It reminds us that God's light comes to us personally in our hearts and lives in a special way. So Christ absolves us from our past, forgives us. And then the second thing is we're assured of our future. You know, when the angel came to Mary that first Advent, it had to seem like awful troublesome to Mary. It obviously was a word of hope, but, you know, she had a lot of explaining to do to Joseph. And then, you know, the burden of sort of bearing the Messiah in the middle of the oppression and injustice of Rome and what might happen. And maybe she even knew that his life would be at risk. And so there was also that sort of grieving about the future. But the angel assures her of the future, that God will be with her. And I think not just in that moment of conception, but that God would walk with her as a mother of Christ in a special way. And I still love that word, for nothing is impossible with God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a great Christian saint of the 20th century, and he stood up against the horrors of Nazism at a very awful time, was thrown in prison, eventually lost his life. But in the winter of 1943, he was in prison there, and he knew that the Nazis had commanded that he would be sentenced to death. But on the morning of the first Advent, he took a wreath and he hung it in his prison cell. And later his biographer would say he could look around him on Advent morning and see the ruins to which Christ must come again. So he knew that no matter what he faced, that God was with us in a special way. Emmanuel, God with us, and that God was working in all of history, and that even the worst of circumstances can turn out for good. And so hope transforms our life. And I think the final thing about hope is that not only are we absolved of the past and assured of the future, but to really be the candle of hope, it needs to be something that we share with others. And there's lots of ways that we can share hope. You know, I love all the things we have going on. We've got Christmas Jubilee, and it's a chance to help some families in need. And then we've got the warming tree, and we've got the carry home stockings, and there's lots of these little things going on. And it's such a blessing because I think it's so much better to give than to receive. Yesterday, we did the funeral service for Haynes, great old saint of this church, and he's a remarkable person. He did all of the excavation for this land where the church now sits, except that he didn't dig the basement. He cleared a lot of the trees out here, along with many of our forefathers and mothers, and some of the folks are even here this morning. But as we were preparing for his service, and the daughters were sharing, one of the stories they said was that their dad ran a coal and trucking company. And during the Depression, why people would come to him, and some of them just had their kids' little toy wagons. And so they brought those to the store because that's all they could afford was a little bit of coal. And he always made sure that they left with plenty of coal, and he even extended them credit personally whenever they needed it. He wanted to make sure that they were warm during the hard winter months. And the other story that was so beautiful was, and he used to say this to me too, but the daughters would go to him, and he was in a retirement home. He said, well, you know, I can't do much, but I can pray. And they would always say, well, that's the greatest gift of all, Dad. And he'd say that to me oftentimes as I go and visit him. And, you know, you might not think that you can do much, but the truth is if you can pray, wherever you are and whoever you are, if you pray for someone who's in need, maybe if it's a person who's grieving the loss of a loved one or someone who's in the hospital or someone who's just going through a difficult time, if you pray, pray for them. And I believe that God works in a personal and powerful way. And God can transform the darkest night into a night that has a light that makes all the difference. And so we want to unwrap the gift of hope. And I'm reminded of this image of this artist who was painting this little cottage in the woods. And it was a dark winter night on this canvas. And the trees, of course, were without leaves. And it was snowing. And painting seemed very depressing. But the last moment, the artist painted a little candle in the window and of that little cottage. And all of a sudden, that painting that looked so dismal and dreary became one of warmth and hope. And I think in the same way, when we light a candle in the night, we transform the darkest night into a moment of hope. And I'm from Pennsylvania. And one of the traditions in Pennsylvania is that you take one candle and put it in each window of the house. And I know some people do that around here, but like a lot of people do in Pennsylvania. And so I love to take the drive out in the countryside and you see that farmhouse out in the distance in the snow. And it has a little candle, one candle in each window. And it just looks so beautiful. And I think in our own life, if we sort of light a candle in the window, people can see that. People can be warmed by that. People can be touched in a special way. And that candle is a light of hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to close with this beautiful little writing by Max Lucado. And he says this: when you're the neediest, he is the most sufficient. When you're completely helpless, he is the most helpful. When you feel totally dependent, he is absolutely dependable. When you are the weakest, he is the most able. When you are the most alone, he is ultimately present. When you feel you are the least, he is the greatest. When you feel the most useless, he is preparing you. When it is the darkest, he is the light you need. When you feel the least secure, he is the rock and fortress. When you are most humble, he is most gracious. And when you can't, he can. Amen. Let us join in prayer. Lord, we thank you that in the darkest night, that you come to us as the light of hope in Christ our Lord. We thank you that you're the one that forgives us and offers us grace. We thank you that you're the one that assures us that you will be with us in the darkest storm and in the present and in the future. We know that you have a plan of purpose for each of our lives, and sometimes it's a life that faces heartache and heartbreak and storms of adversity. But in all this, we have the hope that you are with us, walking along us through each step along the pathway of light. And so this Christmas, help us to set our hearts and lives on the hope that we have in you. Help us to experience your forgiving grace anew and the hope that we have of this life and next through Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.